Oh, why hello there. Welcome back. Thank you if you are tuning in for another episode of Quick Hits with Dre. It is Wednesday, 1/24/2024. I'm doing laundry right now. So that's the perks of being home during the day. You can chip away at some things, you know, maybe vacuum, get up away from your desk, vacuum for 15 minutes, make sure things look nice, sit back down, do some work, get up, do the dishes. I think laundry is the easiest one because you just kind of dump it in. It takes you 5 minutes. I'm fortunate it's right here on my floor in the apartment building I'm in Queens, New York. And yeah, just trying to chip away. So I asked Siri how much time was left on the timer just to get a sense of, you know, how long I had to ramble. And so, yeah, let's dive in to last night's action. Give you a little bit of a recap for Tuesday's games. We'll start off with my Knicks beating the Nets in Brooklyn, 108-103. If you watched, as I did, it was an entertaining game. Really, I had the Knicks down the whole time. Pretty much most of the game. So, you know, looks like, oh, they won by five. I mean, not that winning by five is in any means having control over the basketball game, but the Knicks were kind of swimming upstream there for a while. The Nets, look, it's a rivalry game. They came out, home game, and they played well. They did. And I hate to compare. I hate to look back. I always like to look forward, especially because the Knicks were so bad back a decade ago. But and I hate to just keep harping on this point. It seems like a central theme with me and the Knicks of yesteryear. But watching that game, it's like something the Knicks in 2015 would do. If I'm the Nets, you know, and I just get reminded of that those teams. When you watch bad basketball for as long as I did, and call me crazy, maybe I am, but I watched the games. I watched a lot of those losing seasons. It's twofold. Hand up, I'll admit it. Maybe I'm not as crazy as you might think me saying that, but I would watch 82 games. And quite frankly, a lot of times my buddies and I, we'd have over-unders for win totals on those seasons. Because nothing like a March game 80 of the season, where you got an over at 25.5 and it's the opportunity to win that 26th game. And so a lot of my buddies and I would keep things interesting throughout those putrid years. Because, hey, otherwise those seasons were over in November sometime. I mean, maybe that's dramatic, but you get the point, right? So I would watch a lot of bad basketball. Partially because it affected my pocketbook, and partially because, of course, I'm a Knicks fan, you know? And there's always that glimmer of hope, oh, they'll play the young guys. Oh, next season, the new crop, they'll take over. And so what I saw on those Nets last night was a game, unfortunately, a recipe of something that I'm all too familiar with. You're basically in control of that entire game, right down to 5 minutes left, and the Knicks are like, "Oh yeah, that's right." You know, see, I don't want them to get too comfortable doing that, but it kind of seems to be the MO of good teams that play bad teams. They sit there and they coast. And they coast. And then they turn it on. They turn the Jets on and they do what they got to do. And with about maybe, I don't know, a little over 5 minutes left, hit a three here. And that, you know, and the Nets just, they just couldn't hit a shot where they needed to hit a shot. They had opportunities. It's not like the Knicks were, you know, scoring every time down. They were missing shots as well, leaving the door wide open for the Nets to grow the lead, and they couldn't do that. Even as late as 2 minutes left, they had a chance. I think there was a three that was just badly missed. And so, yeah, that's – I think that when you're a bad team, you find ways to lose, right? And when you're a good team, you find ways to win. And might have heard me say this before, first time listener, I'm pretty sure of that too. But I'm on a Knicks chain with my buddies who are just as obsessed, sadly, as I am. And the Knicks this year are 19-0 against teams that are under 500. And that's remarkable. Now, I didn't go and fact check my buddy, and so I could just be completely throwing you guys a load of baloney. But it did come from NBA University. So at NBA underscore University said the Knicks are 19-0 against teams that are under 500. And so my response was, that's impressive. Because it is. You'd think they'd have a bad or an off night or something like that. So headed in the right direction, winning basketball games against the teams that they should beat. But I'm sure a litmus test will come their way soon. There's nothing on the docket for tonight. We'll eagerly await Thursday's game, I'm sure. We can look ahead while we're sitting here. Yeah, so the Nuggets are in town. There you go. Just what the doctor ordered. A litmus test for the Knicks. That's the real deal Nuggets right there. Those are the NBA champion Nuggets. But the Knicks are home. So we'll see. But got to be happy if you're a Knicks fan. Got to be pulling your hair out if you're a Nets fan. It's the way it is right now. But that Bridges kid, at least you got that to cheer for. You should be happy about that. So hopefully the Nets can build around him and not lose him. But, all right. Now, before you Ranger fans start freaking out, I'm not freaking out, but I'm not happy. They lost last night to the Sharks. 3-2 in OT. Salvage a point. What did he do? The Sharks are a bad team. Abysmal. Actually, that's what I wrote down in my notes. Abysmal. So, that's not good. I didn't watch the game. It's 10 o'clock at night. 10:30 start. My head was on the pillow at 10. Here, Eastern Standard. So, no highlights or lowlights. But they're limping their way to the All-Star break. And so another fun stat I read, because, you know, Ranger fans, I don't have enough Ranger fan friends, unfortunately, like I do Knicks fan friends. I'm kind of out there on an island. Literally, Queens is on Long Island, and I'm about 10 minutes from UBS. But neither here nor there. I saw a Ranger stat, and this is Ranger fans again, trying to make other Ranger fans feel okay about how poorly the Rangers have played in January. And that's it. Those are facts. Poor. Uninspired. Tired. They look tired. And I don't mean that in the sense that they're, you know, dragging their tongue on the floor because they're exhausted. It's almost lazy. And one of the comments I read on the Ranger board that I frequent, because I'm just obsessed about the Rangers as I am the Knicks and every other team that I love in New York. But one of the excuses are for losers, by the way. If you didn't know that, losers make excuses. It's never the winning team that says, oh, well, we should have done X, Y, and Z. That's why we won, right? It's the team that lost. And so we got Ranger fans on the Ranger board saying, oh, they're just saving themselves for the playoffs. They're not trying hard because they're going to save themselves so they don't get tired for the playoffs. Those are excuses that losers make. I'm not calling that person a loser, but they wouldn't be saying that if the Rangers right now, instead of being 4-6 in January, were 6-4 or 7-3 or 8-2. They wouldn't be saying those things. And so you got to be real careful when you're out there and you're trying to make yourself feel better when your team is stinking it up. You could just say they're stinking it up. And so they got two more games left in January, and then they go to the All-Star break where they'll lick their wounds, hopefully regroup, hopefully get more healthy, and stop with the nonsense. Because you don't coast into the playoffs and then turn on a light switch and figure it out then. There's no figuring it out once you get to the playoffs. It's either you can or you can't. The game's faster. People are hitting harder. And there's not as much ice space. You got to move the puck. You got to think quick. You got to move fast. You got to take advantage of mistakes. And you got to execute on defense. So, long way away from the playoffs. No alarm sounding here. Told you that already. But I don't like what I'm seeing. It was all well and good and fun and dancing around when they were kicking butt and taking names. But they're not doing that right now. So, anyway, any hoosies. The Golden Knights beat the Islanders 3-2 at UBS Arena. I think I heard the moans or the exhales or the sighs from you Islander fans after that one last night. Sorry. But kind of made me feel a little bit better, maybe. Or maybe you feel a little bit better. Well, the Rangers lost by 4 goals to the Golden Knights, and we only lost by 1. Well, then, whoop-de-de-do. Good for you. It's a loss. And you were home. So, there's that. Not much else to add to that. That's me just being a bitter Ranger fan at this point. But still looking down at you Islander fans in the stands, or the standings rather. So it is what it is. Alrighty. And I told you they were playing, so I might as well tell you they won. Duke beat the unranked Louisville 83-69. So on the road, Duke is 14-4. So maybe they're back. Maybe Duke's back. They're back, baby. Nothing in action tonight, peeps. So for all the Wednesday locals, you have no games. All right. If you're hankering for hockey, you got the Coyotes and the Panthers, Jets at Maple Leafs, Hurricanes Bruins, be a good game. It's on TNT. Should be able to watch that. And then Blackhawks Kraken is the game after on TNT. So that should be good. Blues Canucks and then Sabres Kings for you Buffalo fans. I know I don't give Buffalo enough of what they deserve. And then golf started. For some reason, on Wednesday, we got the Farmers Insurance Open. So that kicked off for any of you golf fans. That's my bad. I'd be watching that. That would be on the TV right now. And for you NBA peeps, you got Hornets Pistons, T-Wolves Wizards, Grizzly Heat, Trailblazer Rockets, Cavs Bucks, Suns Mavs, Thunder Spurs, Hawks Warriors. And obviously I'm rooting for that's a tough one for me, but I despise the Hawks. And so I'm rooting for the Warriors. All right. So those are your locals. Those are your NHL and NBA. And let me see. I didn't tell you if there was anywhere for you to watch any of these NBA games. Yeah, so Suns Mavs you can see on ABC. And then Thunder Spurs is ESPN at 9:30. So, and then everything else is either on your local or you need the package. All right. Okay. So, you know, I can't help myself with baseball. That is near and dear. And so any chance I get, I will try and talk baseball. I did wake up to my Yankee text chain moaning. I was right there with the rest of them about the Hall of Fame inductions. Joe Mauer, first ballot Hall of Famer. Adrian Beltre, first ballot Hall of Famer. Didn't even bat 300. Didn't even have 500 home runs. And then Todd Helton, I think it was his sixth year on the ballot, finally gets in. What a better average than both of them. And so I just don't know what is going on. What the criteria for getting in the Hall of Fame is. When you look at some of the players in the past that are not in the Hall of Fame. And then these guys are getting in, no problem. Maybe they get in anyway. Maybe they're just a beneficiary of the circumstance of who's on the card, who there is to choose from. But are people looking back in 50 years and being like, yeah, Adrian Beltre, he was something special. You knew he was something special. And look, I think he was a great player. I would have been happy to have him playing third base. But was he a dominant player at his position for 10 plus years? Was Joe Mauer the best catcher for 10 plus years in Major League Baseball? To be a first ballot? Like, and it took Todd Helton six tries, and they used Colorado against him. And so, is it because they are nice to the media? They're nice to the writers? Is that why they're getting in so easily? And there's other players who aren't in the Hall of Fame? Now, of course, my Yankee bias breath is going to come through on this one. It's going to really stink. But like Don Mattingly's not in the Hall of Fame and Joe Mauer is. Go look at the stats. And I'm not saying that Donnie should be in and Mauer should be out. I'm just saying like first ballot though. And that's what we were talking about. So I'm giving you a little bit of preview of the complaining that we do. And who it involves. But like in 50 years, are you going to tell me that no one should know who Alex Rodriguez is? And no one should know who Barry Bonds is? Like is the Hall of Fame losing its luster? Is it just not going to be as revered? Because it's being watered down. And I find that, you know, there's players in there that I don't know who they are. Right? But like, or should we not know who Pete Rose is? In 100 years, should we not know that Pete Rose has the most hits ever in Major League Baseball because he's a gambling addict? Or are they going to wait for him to die and then they'll put him in posthumously? Or whatever the saying is. Like, is that what we're going to do? Is that what we're going to do to all these players? That's fine. Don't celebrate them. Don't give them a speech. Don't give them the whole, you know, thing on the lawn and all that. But we're just not going to put them in the Hall of Fame. We're just going to act like they did. Barry Bonds didn't hit 770-something home runs, whatever it was. Mark McGwire didn't break the home run record. And Sammy Sosa wasn't doing the same stuff because they did steroids. I'm not agreeing that they did steroids. But part of Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is the history of the game. You want to throw a wing together and say these are the steroid era? These players played in the steroid era and took advantage of, and they didn't do it the right way? Maybe. But people need to go to the Hall of Fame and they need to see that Barry Bonds hit 700-something home runs. And that he did it, and he did it taking steroids. He took steroids, he did it, and he broke Babe Ruth's record. He broke Hank Aaron's record. People need to know that. And there should be a place for him in the Hall of Fame. Now, Pete Rose, in my opinion, is a completely... There should be no asterisk. He shouldn't be in a gambling corner. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest hitters to ever play the game. And he played the game hard. He played the game the right way. And he made stupid mistakes. But are we going to go down the list of everyone who's in the Hall of Fame and start checking their morality clauses? Sure, we can find some guys that did some pretty crummy stuff. Now, look, gambling on the game while you have an influence on the game is as bad as it gets. So I don't want to dismiss it and act like I don't think that it's messed up what he did. But it's not like you're withhold. Let's say Pete Rose as a player doesn't exist. And Pete Rose had Joe Torre's managerial success with the Yankees. All right? And that's all he's known for, is being the manager of the Cincinnati Reds during one of the greatest dynasties and blah, blah, blah. And it comes to be known that he was a gambler and that he used his players in a way to enrich himself. By keeping them in too long, by maybe betting against them and losing, which he claims he never did, right? Like, then there's a case where you're like, all right, well, you know what? This guy, he has all the pedigree of a Hall of Fame manager, but he doesn't deserve to be in because he managed with the wrong intentions and essentially potentially put his players at risk. Injuries, whatever else have you. But as a player, like, are you sure about that? You sure about that? Because people should know who that guy is in 100 years. People should go to the Hall of Fame in 100 years and be able to be like, oh, wow, that's Pete Rose. He had the most hits ever in Major League Baseball. Look, Daddy, that's Pete Rose. Because what that guy did on the field, I don't think it's going to be done again. Color me a skeptic. But I don't think so. Down to be wrong. Would be really impressed to see it. But the way they rest guys, the injuries these days. I mean, that guy played baseball. And they played for their lunch. Let's not forget, we're in a different era today. When that guy threw you out at second base and that meant you guys were going to lose, he was standing in between you winning and losing and you getting paid more money. Your team gets paid if you win the World Series. They get paid more. Don't forget that. And back then, it's not like today. And what they do today is nice. If you didn't know, the winning teams, every level in the playoffs you win, there's a stipend that gets paid out to the team. And typically they'll pay out the clubhouse guys and the people who make it possible for behind the scenes guys, essentially, and gals, who help the players out throughout the year. Right. But back then they weren't making the money they're making today. And so if that guy was on home plate holding that ball, and the difference was you got paid or you didn't get paid, well, then I'll tell you right now, they didn't like that guy standing there with the ball at home plate. They weren't giving up the slide. They weren't giving up the run that easily, because that run meant something. So today it's like, I don't want to get injured. I'll live to play another game. That's fine. I have no problem with them not barreling into people getting, the game's faster today. But, they hit hard back then too. They hit hard too. So, but that's my little rant. I think there's got to be set criteria. It's too much. What's the word? It's subjective. It's how somebody feels. That's not the Hall of Fame. That's not what it's about. Okay? It's about, did that guy do it day in and day out for 10 years, and was he the best at his position or one of the best, right? So that's it. I'll lay that to bed, lay it to rest, whatever you want to say. And so in closing, just throwing it out there. Don't know what to do. Kind of toying with the idea. If I can figure it out, I'm not a boomer by any means, but if I can figure out YouTube Live with podcasts, I may just jump in and do lives going forward. Have it record, and then I can put the episode up later. But getting it going live, I kind of think would be fun. It'll allow me to talk a little longer if I want to. Perhaps, again, if I can figure things out, even get somebody else involved, questions, things like that. Like, I'd love to be able to get more connected, I guess. And so I did, I'm created the YouTube channel, trying to get episodes over there onto my Quick Hits with Dre YouTube channel. And then hopefully maybe if I can figure out the podcast sitch, get going live. So toying with it, don't know, nothing's in stone. Again, like I said early on, selfishly doing this for me, for fun, and I hope that it's fun for you listening to me and maybe getting a few nuggets here and there, right? So thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of the day, night, evening, wherever you're at. And tomorrow we'll roll into an NFL Thursday. I know I've already given picks, so I kind of blew that yesterday, if you listened. But we'll go over it some more. Maybe we'll deep dive. We'll look at who's playing as far as injury report, things of that nature. So thanks again. Have a good one. And see ya.